This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again, about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Let us pray. God, you do rain down your love upon us. Help us to be perceptive, to feel it, to immerse ourselves in it, so that we too might be the same generous people as you are to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Morning. To frame our understanding of this incredible parable that we hear today, we go back to the story before this. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus has been talking about what it takes to get to heaven. And not because it was his idea, but he gets asked the question. And he ends up by saying that it is harder to go through the eye of a needle, for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, than it is for someone to get to heaven. Now, our friend Peter responds by saying, "Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. We have given up everything, everything, to come and follow you." As if Peter is saying, "Doesn't make sense to me. We kind of deserve this, don't we?" And that leads in to this story that Jesus tells today, Matthew chapter 20. Now, to complete the frame of this story, we have to go to the end of the story, because Peter has a problem with this idea of deserving. Peter has a problem with envy and jealousy as well. At the end of the story, at the end of John's gospel, you remember what happens. Peter comes and Jesus says, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he asks him three times. And each time Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And we would expect that Peter and Jesus would walk arm in arm into the sunset and live happily ever after. But Peter still got a problem. Because Jesus says to Peter, follow me. And Peter turns his sidewise glance of envy and sees the beloved disciple standing there. And Peter says to Jesus, well, what about him? Peter is still caught up throughout his life in this envy and jealousy of other people. Perhaps one of the reasons why we have the character of Peter as the first disciple is to help us to understand it's not going to be that uncommon that envy or jealousy or trying to even deserve the kingdom is going to be a problem for us as well. It's all about the big picture, as it has been for the last several weeks. In this section of Matthew's gospel, we had that section about when someone offends you, what's the process for trying to make it right? And why in the big picture do we want to make it right? Because we want to make sure that everybody receives in full measure the incredible grace and mercy of God. Then we had the story about forgiveness. Why do we need to forgive? Because we and everybody else in the big picture, we want for them to be able to receive the full grace and mercy of God. This story is no exception. Why do we want to act like the landowner does? Because we want everyone to not have their table empty because they didn't get a job that day. We want everybody to be full in their hearts with the grace and mercy of God. John Claypool, who's one of my heroes, tells an illustrative parable based on this one that for me is the ultimate story to get to the heart of what this is about. We've acted the parable out in this church. We've heard John Claypool's story before, but for those of you who haven't heard it, this will be your first time. For those of you who have, it's still, I could read it every day, and it still means a lot to me. It goes like this. There once was a farmer and his wife. They were very poor. For generations they had been poor. The angel of the Lord came and appeared to him in a dream and said this, "You have won favor with God. God would like to treat you like he has treated Abraham. God wants to bless you. God is going to grant you the three wishes of your heart's desire, but with one condition. Whatever you receive, your neighbor will receive twofold." And so the angel leaves and the man wakes up his wife and says, "This angel just came and told me this." And the wife says, "Well, let's put it to the test." And so they think, "We've been poor for generations." And so they pray to God, "God, please, if you would give us 1,000 cattle, we would never have to worry about poverty on our farm again." And as soon as they had said those words, they hear the sound of animals outside their house. And sure enough, there's 1,000 cattle there. Well, the farmer is excited. He can hardly keep his feet on the ground. For a couple days, he's so excited about his newfound affluence. He starts looking around where he might build a bigger barn. And so he climbs up to the top hill on the third day. And just as he's deciding where he's going to put the barn, he looks across and with the sidelights glance of envy, sees his neighbor's farm, who is reveling in his new 2,000 cattle. And all of his joy is gone. He's very upset. He's mad. He's enraged with envy. But just as his envy reaches his peak, he realizes, "I've got two other wishes." And so he and his wife make their second wish. They were childless. They pray to God that they would have a child so they might have descendants. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, his wife announces to him that she is expecting. They're excited through the pregnancy, with their affluence, with the child to come. And the day that the child is born is the day before the Sabbath. And so he goes to the synagogue, and at the time of the prayers, he stands up and in the presence of everybody says, God is so good, we finally have a child. And he sits down, and just as he does, his neighbor stands up and says, indeed, God is so good, because last night my wife gave birth to twins. And with that, he is so mad and so enraged that he storms out of the synagogue and doesn't wait, but he makes his third wish right away. And he says, God, gouge out my right eye. And with that, the angel who started the process comes back. And with sadness says, why, O son of man, are you so envious and jealous when God is blessing you so much? And in his rage, the man says, because I cannot stand to see my neighbor doing so well. The only thing that will give me satisfaction is to know that he will never see the blessings that God is giving to him. And there is silence for a while. And then the angel says, your third wish will not be granted. Not because God lacks integrity, but because God is a God of mercy. The angel then says, you have not only brought sadness to yourself, but today you have brought tears to the very face of God. What an incredibly powerful way to understand for us what this parable is about. That the minute that we start to compare our lives with somebody else, we are going to be locked up and paralyzed, just like we talked about last week when we cannot forgive. The dirty four-letter F word is fair. Life is not fair. And we should be grateful that our God is not a God of fairness. That our God is a God of grace, generosity, and mercy. That's what it's all about. Our lives need to be led not in trying to compare ourselves to somebody else, but in concentrating on the incredible blessings that God gives to each one of us. I think perhaps when we read and hear this parable, we have a tendency to think of ourselves as that group who came at the earliest part of the day and were chosen and worked their rear ends off all day long. Did you ever think that just maybe Jesus wanted us to understand that we're the 5 o'clock people? That we're the ones whom he has blessed at the end of the day with his grace and generosity in a way that the world just won't understand. If we approach our lives that way, perhaps our response will be like that landowner was. John always ends telling that story that I told you before with another story to balance it out. It goes like this. There was another farmer. He had 2 sons. And as that farmer grew old, he realized he could no longer take care of the farm himself. And so he gave equal measures of the farm to his 2 sons. They entered into a partnership. They grew up, and as they grew up, the one son got married, found the love of his life, and had 8 children. The other son never found someone to be with. Well, one night, the son who was unmarried thinks to himself, my brother has 10 mouths to feed. I only have 1. But he will never let me give to him more than half of the share of the harvest. So what I will do is, in the middle of the night, I will sneak out And I will deliver into his barn more of the share of the harvest so he can feed his family. Well, at the same time, the son who has 8 children and a wife thinks, I am so blessed. I have a family to look after me in my old age. My brother has nothing. He will need money so that he can be taken care of in his old age. So what I will do is, because he would never accept more than half of the share of the harvest, I will sneak out, and in the middle of the night, in the dark, I will sneak over more of the share of the harvest into his barn. Well, you can imagine what happens. At the same time, the two brothers leave, and midway on the hill, they meet. And they both realize what the other was doing. They embrace. They cry. And there are tears from heaven that night as well. But they're tears of joy. Because God's angel realizes that two people got it. That two people understood that it's about grace and generosity of realizing how blessed we are. May it be so for us. Let us take that to prayer.